The Word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Last week, that the word or the messages that we receive from God exist in two dimensions. The word of God exists, number one, as a sovereign word that is self-existing word, which does not need our faith, our obedience or belief, or services or sacrifices to perform. For instance, whatever God says he is, he is. Whatever God says he can do, he can do. Whether you believe it or not, your belief or not believing, your sacrifices or not sacrificing, does not change who God says he is or what he says he can do. So that is his sovereign word. And then God's word also exists in the participatory form. The participatory form of the word is where it takes all of your faith, all of your prayer, all of your obedience, all of your sacrifices, all of your services, all of you must get involved for that word to become a reality. That is God's participatory word. In fact, most often, when you hear it is written, I will make you this, that gives you the message of participatory. The moment God says, I will make you great, you will become this, what you should begin to pray for is that, God, what action should I take? What position should I take for this word to come to pass? That is participatory. That one, it calls for all of your faith, all of your sacrifices, all of your services, all of your prayer, all of what? Your obedience. That was why, like in Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 4, when God commanded Abraham to leave his country, his people, and his household to a faraway country that he knew not, and God began to say, I will make you great. I will make you the father of all nations. I will bless those who bless you. I will care. The moment those I will. The first step that Abraham took was that, the Bible says in verse 4, and so Abraham took his wife Sarah and then Lot, and they left. So obedience, they left. Immediately I will come. Obedience, they left. After they left, in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, Abraham started building altars. From that time, he started sacrificing. He started serving. So you see, God's participatory word. In fact, it appears that about 90% of the Bible is God's participatory word. When it comes to your living here on earth, your welfare here on earth, it all depends on your participation with the word of God. Your faith must agree with his word. Your obedience must go along his word. Your services must go along his word. Your sacrifices must go along his word. And we also mentioned about the background of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. The exposition of that scripture. God gave Habakkuk a revelation about what was going to happen to Israel. And God told Habakkuk that the revelation should be written down. And he said to Habakkuk, that the revelation awaits an appointed time. There is an appointed time for this revelation that I'm giving to you. Whether it comes to you in the form of a dream or a revelation or a prophetic word or the spoken word as I'm preaching right now, whichever medium by which the word of God comes to you, see, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. There is an appointed time for it. And it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger or it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. The Bible makes it clear to us that the word of God will linger. The prophetic word of God to you will delay. It will delay. It will linger. But how long? I don't know. Hey, why will it linger? Three reasons. Number one, it will linger. And because it will linger, what are you to do? Wait. Wait for it. And I gave you the meaning of the word wait. The meaning of the waiting. That waiting that the Bible is talking about is not to put your arms between your thighs and then be sitting down and saying, God has spoken. What will happen. It will surely come to pass. That's not the waiting. The waiting here means that once the word of God comes, before the fulfillment comes, you should present the best that you can, the best of faith, the best in obedience, the best in services, the best in sacrifices, the best in prayer, the best in anticipation of its fulfillment. Begin to do the best. That was what Abraham did. At age 75, God called him. And God said, I will. The first step, Abraham obeyed, so he left. Second step, he started sacrificing. Third step, he did what? He served. Genesis 18. At the heat of the day, Abraham was meditating, sitting at the entrance to his tent, when he saw three people passing, and quickly his spirit clicked that these are not ordinary people, they are angels. He went and welcomed them. Please come into my home. Come and get something to eat, water to wash your feet, and so on. So call the wife. Please prepare something for them. The Bible said that Abraham served them while they were eating. Abraham was a waiter, waiting on them. That was service. And so for the next 24 years, Abraham combined all this, obedience, sacrifice, service, prayer, everything for 24 years in anticipation, whilst waiting, whilst looking forward to the fulfillment of the prophetic word. And in the 25th year, the wife took seed and delivered at the age of 100 years. Why? That's the meaning of waiting. That's the meaning. And why is the Bible saying we should wait? Because three things happen to the word that we receive. Three things happen to the word that comes to us. Whether the word of God came to us or the promise of God came to us in a dream or through the preaching as I'm preaching or in a through revelation or a direct prophetic word. Three things happen to that word. Number one, I mentioned to you, God will take you through the process. God will process you for the word. God will process you for that dream. God will process you for that revelation. There is a process. In the process, God will build the character, a corresponding character that will match the word that he has spoken to you. He will build a corresponding nature, habit. He will pull out certain things out of you and infuse his nature into you and position you well for that word. So there is a process. And the process can be very painful. The process can be very distressful. The process can be very, very harsh. The process can be very disappointing. The process is unpleasant. There is always a process. Many people have jumped into marriages and they are jumping out. They haven't gone through the process. They haven't gone through the process. Modern day youth Christians, microwave Christians, they are not prepared to go through the process. They think because, excuse me, they are matured. They know how to have sex. They know how to do all kinds of things so they can marry. They have not been taken through all the process. There is a process. There is a character. There is a language that marries. You cannot just jump and then you marry because you are now of age. You are a woman. You have all the features of a woman or a man. So you can marry. It is not like that. It is character that marries. Because you are going to live with somebody who is different from you. Different from you. Different in temperament. Different in nature. Yes. Right now she's not here. She's handling some issues up there, my wife. I've been telling her. I said, one thing I can tell you. Yes. This is my 34th year in active ministry, full-time ministry in the Assemblies of God. 34 years. 34th year ministry in the Assemblies of God. 27 years as a senior pastor in this church. 7 years as a young associate. 34 years. I can tell you that human beings don't change. Human beings, only God changes them. I'm telling you, no amount of talk, no amount of counseling changes man. Some people, when they bring their issue, I look at the wife, I say, madam, this one, go and pray. Go and pray for your husband to have an encounter. Because this one, this is the nature. Nature, only an encounter changes nature. So you see, God will take you through the process. I mentioned it the other day. Yes. He took Joseph through the process. David through the process. I've gone through the process. Last Sunday, I spent my time on that. So I will not spend time on it today. We are not supposed, in fact, in the process, how genuine you are, the process is needed to produce genuineness out of you. The duration of the process, how long the process will take, depends on how quickly you learn. How quickly you submit. There are some of us, when we are going through the process, we are complaining. Everybody will know. The whole world will know that you alone, you are suffering. The whole world will know that you alone, things are not going well. You have not submitted to the process. You are jumping here, complaining here, going through this. You are not submitting to the process. Like I said the other day, I was preaching in a certain church. And when I started talking about the things God has taken me through, to prepare me for the ministry, people started crying. The place turned into like a funeral ground. And then I met, four of brethren there who were in my former church, who were there when I was going through this. They came to me after church and said, Pastor, are you sure of what you are telling us that you went through this? I said, yes. I said, why didn't God tell us? We were not aware. I said, it was a process. That time, I didn't know it was a process. I was cursing God. I never knew it was a process. Look, when you are going through the process, even your brother in America will not remember you. God will people you are sitting with in the God will tell them not to mind you so that he can have you and take you throughout the process. Even if you have the richest man or the richest people in the world to support you, God will take you through the process. I'm telling you. He will take you. Look, if half Bill Gates or those rich people, I don't know who is the richest person now, half the 10 richest people to support you, God will just shut their phones. He will shut your calls. He will block you. Look, he will block every access that you have to them for the number of years that God will take you through. You call, the call will not go through. You call, the Holy Spirit will divert the call to another place. It is a process so that God will have you and take you through the process. In the process, he's breaking you. Now, the death, how painful or hard the process will be depend on the kind of dream God has for you. The kind of destiny God wants you to fulfill. Yes. The kind of destiny that God wants you to. For instance, in ministry, supposing somebody who will take over from me, and then somebody who just came around to do ministry, to learn ministry and go. The process that God will take, the person who will take over from me, the process God will take that person through will be harder than the one who is just coming to learn and go. Because the person who is taking over from me is going to continue the vision, continue the ministry. Have you gone through the process? What process is God taking you through? There is a process. These all people cannot stand. And so they truncate their vision. Oh, come on. I don't know what is happening about what God showed me. This thing cry. Oh, I am no longer interested. This and that. Yes. When the process is ended, God will start opening certain doors for you. Yes. Certain things, you know that there is a change. Your character, temperament, and everything is changing. That's why I like the military training so much. By the time you go there 6 months and come out, you are no longer the same. One thing I miss in my life is military training. It didn't occur to me. I would have done everything just to submit myself to that training. Military, I love them so much. 6 months, by the time you come out, you are no longer a civilian. You yourself, the military blood is in you. They've taken you through some process. They've broken certain things out of you. Certain feathers. Yes. We have this, one of our daughters went through military training. When she came out, we look at her. We say, Charlie, it's a different person who is living with us now. A little thing is, hey, he say, hey! You shout like that, hey! Say, uh-huh. That's it. That's it. They put something into her. That's the process that God takes you through. As a child of God, concerning your vision. You see, that is why, don't say, why is it that only me alone? Me alone, I'm suffering. Me alone, so. Your vision is different. Your vision is different. I have met pastors who mock me. They say, they're like, the anointing you have. Look, we don't have 1/8 of your anointing. Look, we don't have what you have. But why is that always you are doing warfare? Always you are fighting. Always this. When I look at them, I say, you don't know where I come from. Me, my great-grandfather was calling demons into the world. Maybe because of him, that's why many demons are in the world today. The time that your grandfather was a deacon, the time that your grandfather was a presbyter, the time that your grandmother was serving the missionaries, the time that your father was a pastor, me, mine, what they were doing. So even it is the message of God. So you can sleep. When you wake up, no battle, because they have already fought the battles for you. Me, who has fought my battles? I have to fight my battles and fight for my children and my children's children. Otherwise, darkness will continue to rule and reign. That's why the process. Now, the second thing that I mentioned that happens to you is that your prophetic word, which comes to you in a dream, a revelation, or a prophetic word, it comes under attack. The devil attacks the word. He attacks the word. He attacks the word. Yes, I shared with you last Sunday. This I just review. Violent attacks on your participatory word by wanting to block its fulfillment in every way. We saw in Genesis chapter 37, verse 12 to 30. Genesis 37, verse 12 to 30. About Joseph. When Joseph had a dream, the Bible said that when he told the brothers, they hated him the more. And one time when the brother had gone to graze with the sheep or the flock, and then the father sent him to follow up, the Bible said that they saw him far away coming and said, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and see what will happen to the dream. Let's kill him and see what will happen. Look, the main reason why the devil come want to kill you, it's not because, look, If the devil should kill me today, if the devil should kill you today, he knows that he can never get even your shadow. Even a strand from your head, he won't get. But what he's actually targeting at is your dream, your destiny, what God has brought you into this world to fulfill. Because your dream is connected to many people. Many people are going to be blessed. If you become an engineer, you become a blessing to the nation. You become a blessing to the society. If you become great, you become a blessing to. So because of that, he wants to attack and kill your dream. I mentioned Joseph. And then in Matthew 27, from verse 62 to 66. Matthew 27, this one I didn't give you. Matthew 27, 62 to 66. This was what the Jews said at the death of Jesus Christ. After Jesus had died, the Bible says in Matthew 27, 62, and I will say the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Chief priest, they went to Pilate. They said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, they called Jesus deceiver because they were blind, said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. 65. Take a guard. Pilate answered, go, make the tomb as secure as you know. Why were they trying to prevent the resurrection? Because of what he said. They said, we remember. Let me tell you, the devil knows the word of God more than you. The devil doesn't know your destiny. He doesn't know your future. Do you know how he knows it? He knows it through his agents. Through his agents. That's why you don't share your things by heart. That's why you should know the spirit in the person that you are sharing your dream with. Yes. Through his agents. And the devil also knows the plan of God for your life through what? Through the Bible. He knows that everything that is written in the Bible is for you. And you can stand on it. So Jesus said, kill me. By the third day, I will rise. And they heard it. The enemies heard it. And so what did they do? They say, let's block it. Let's block it. Let's secure the tomb so that his resurrection will never happen. Attack on your dream. If you have a dream and you are not prayerful, I pity you. If you have a dream and you are just a happy, lucky person, go person, I pity you. I pity you. In Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. We want to look at another principle of attack there. How the devil attacks our dreams and prophetic word. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, this woman represents Israel. Israel. The sun and the moon. They represent the father of Israel. The father of Israel. Either Jacob and Rebecca or Abraham and Sarah. I mean, that line with the moon under her feet. And a crown of 12 stars. 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel on her head. Mm-hmm. Verse 2. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Uh-huh. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon. This is the devil. With 7 heads. These are 7 nations. And 10 horns. 10 nations. 7 governmental heads. And then 10 nations. And 7 crowns on his head. You see, the devil always counterfeits what God is doing. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky. And flanked the stars, angels. And flanked sky and flung them to the earth. These were angels that disobeyed in heaven. The dragon stood in front of the woman, Israel, who was about to give birth. That baby was Jesus Christ that was about to be given birth to, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Like what Herod wanted to do. Herod was seeking the baby Jesus to kill. That's the story being portrayed here. Herod wanted to kill the vision or the visionary, the messenger, the savior. The Bible says that the dragon was standing in front of the woman. As I am preaching right now, the devil is not everywhere. But the devil can be somewhere where his agent is. Yes. So if one agent is here, he's here right now. Yes. And he's what? He's blocking the word. He's blocking the word from reaching you. Yes. He can be distracting you right now. He can cause you to go on your mobile phone as I'm preaching right now. He can cause you to be texting your girlfriend. You can be chatting right now whilst you are seated here. Oh, yes. Honey, how? Yes, baby, my baby. Oh, how? You are babying each other. Oh, baby, I'm here. Oh, baby, the man is talking too much. Oh, baby, don't worry. Just hold on. What's the time? Baby, you just give me some 15 more minutes. If the man keeps on talking, baby, I will leave and join you right now. Do you know? He has already attacked the word. You are finished. Because, you see, one word, one revelation from God can change your life forever. One revelation from God. And so he wants you to miss that revelation. So he will engage your mind right now. So the dragon was standing in front of the woman to devour the baby, to devour the dream. May the Lord protect your dream. May the Lord protect your destiny. Hallelujah. Now, today, so that's the second thing that happens to your prophetic word. First, the reason why you should wait is because there is a process and the meaning of waiting. Second, the reason why you should wait is because there is a violent attack. And then third, the reason why you should wait is because gates, systems, structures, and institutions are raised or set up against the word. Now, I've come to realize that it appears that it is much easier to hold on to or believe the written word in the Bible, than the spoken prophetic word. I've come to realize, in fact, it is easier to hold on to and believe the written word, the Bible, because that one, we believe that it is God's word. He wrote it. He breathed it through people, and then it was written down. And let me tell you, the written word produced more of testimonies than the prophetic word. Because the prophetic word, when somebody is prophesying, you don't know whether the person is prophesying from his head. Yes. So there is doubt a little. We doubt the prophetic word. In fact, I went to pray with somebody. And then, whilst we were praying, I used to pray with the person. I will stop and say, do you believe? Do you really believe? So, Pastor, I believe. After many months, something happened and the person exposed herself. He said, you see, Pastor, I have been doubting, how can this work? How can this happen? Then I reminded her. I said, do you remember a year ago? Do you remember when we are praying? And I will stop and ask you, do you believe? Do you believe? Then she started smiling. Say, Pastor, you caught me. You caught me. I say, yes. Because the Spirit was telling me that all the prayers you are praying are useless because you don't believe. Because in your mind, all the prophetic words that God was giving to you, in your mind, how would this happen? But you see, when they started happening, they happened in a way that where her mind was, how she was thinking was not the way God fulfilled them. But you see, that is why those of you who run around prophets, prophesy to me, say something to me. Sometimes they don't have anywhere to. But because you have come, they have to force and tell you something. I am telling you. They will tell you something. They don't have anything because you want to hear something. They will tell you something. Let me tell you, I want to give you a simple key. If you have a Bible, open the Bible and pick those scriptures. Begin to pray them, personalize them, stand on them, prophesy those words unto yourself. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, so is my word that goes forth. My word, not word. My word that goes forth, it shall not return to me void. Listen to me. The word of God has inherent ability and power to produce results. To produce what? Testimonies. The greatest blessing God has given to me, which I thank God for, is that I have eyes to read. And that I went to school. I can read. I've never gone to anybody and said, give me prophetic word. I pick the Bible, I go to concordance, and I begin to search. What did the Bible say about this? I pick them. I make them my words. I begin to pray on them. They produce quicker miracles and testimonies than the prophetic words that we are chasing. I'm telling you. You are looking for healing. Go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? I am the God that heals you. What does the Bible say in Exodus 23 from verse 25? Worship the Lord thy God, and his blessing shall be upon thy food and thy water. And he shall make sure that barrenness does not exist or miscarriages. And he will give you a full life span. Why don't you make that your word? I am worshiping you. And therefore, barrenness should not exist with me. Pray that word for 1 year and see whether you will not get pregnant. Whether you will not get pregnant. The word will become flesh and make what? It dwelling among you. Hallelujah. In Psalm 119 verse 89, the Bible says that the word of God is settled in heaven. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. King James says, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, he has exalted, Psalm 138 verse 2, he has exalted above all things his word and what? His name. Psalm 138 verse 2. Psalm 138 verse 2, he has exalted above all things his name and his word. And Hebrews 4:12, the word produces result. And he produces our testimonies. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 2 to 4, when the earth was formless and darkness was over the deep, and then the Holy Spirit was hovering, and the Bible sent the word, let there be. When the word left the mouth of God, the word did not return empty. According to Isaiah 55 verse 11, the word returned with a testimony. When God said, let there be light, the word produced light. When God said, let the sun appear, the sun appeared. In fact, everything, including the earth on which you are standing, is a product of the word. You yourself, you are a product of the word. The sun is a product of the word. The moon is a product of the word. Rivers, the sea, the oceans, they are product of the word. So anytime we stand on the written word, we are more secured. We are more secured. And you see, the Bible says also in Isaiah 44 verse 26. First service, they didn't get these scriptures. Isaiah 44, 26. God also confirmed the word of his servant. Remember the word. Who carries out the words of his servant? Who carries out the words? But originally it is the word. Singular, the word. So it is the word of his servant and fulfilled the predictions of his messengers. Who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited. Of the towns of Judah, they shall be rebuilt. And of their ruins, I will restore them. You can just personalize this word. If your business is gone down, whatever, you can just take hold of this word and begin to personalize it. You are Jerusalem. You are this. What does the Bible say? Say, I will rebuild it. So my business and my empire will be what? Rebuilt. You see, he fulfills prophetic words that will speak to you. Yes. When we talk about prophets, prophets are simply people who speak under inspiration of the Spirit of God. Finish. In the Old Testament, prophets were preachers. As I'm preaching right now, I am prophesying to you. I am prophesying the word. Yes. We have those who preach the word, and we have those who release the message direct. That says the Lord. Yes, that says the law. Yes, he fulfills the word. Mark chapter 16 verse 20. The Bible says that the disciples went about preaching. And God confirmed the word with what? Signs and what? Wonders. Because they were preaching the word that he said they should preach. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. Repent. Because my kingdom is at hand. And that was what they were preaching. And God, because they were saying what? He gave them to preach. You see, God will always confirm the message that he has given. But the message he hasn't given, he will not confirm it. That's why we are more safe, or we are safer, when we hold onto the written word than when we are relying on prophets to prophesy to us. Because what they are telling us at that time, we don't know whether it is inspired by God or by the flesh. Yes, we don't know. What they may be saying may be correct, but we don't know whether they are speaking under inspiration. I am telling you, I am not saying that we should disbelieve in prophet. Prophetic ministry is real. I am a prophet, even though I don't call myself prophet. I am a prophet. I speak under inspiration. And when I speak under inspiration, just write it down. You see it coming to pass. But sometimes it is not always that prophets are under inspiration. I'm telling you, human prophet, we can make mistakes. Sometimes we backfire. Pa. But because we know that you want to hear something, so we'll tell you something. Now, the third thing that happens, gates, systems, and structures are raised against the prophetic word. One, Ephesians 6:12 in the King James Version. Ephesians 6:12. Bible says that we are not wrestling with the flesh, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These four things that are mentioned here, these are demons, demonic, satanic entities, and they are systems, they are structures, they are institutions, they are establishments that have been set against your prophetic word. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in what? High places. They are gates. They are systems. They are structures. They are institutions and establishments. They are set against your prophetic word to make it all dysfunctional, to block it, to delay it. Another example is Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Zechariah chapter 1, 18 to 21. I want it in NIV. Okay, fine. Then I look up, and there before me were four horns. Anytime you read the Bible, you see horns. Horns represent strength. It can represent either spiritual strength or demonic strength. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? He answered me, these are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Verse 20. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. King James says carpenters. I asked, what are these coming to do? He answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise their head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them, or to cast them down. You see, these horns were nations. There were four nations that the devil or God used against Israel whenever they disobeyed. Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, and then Medo-Persia. These were the four nations that God used against Israel. Anytime they disobeyed him, he would go and inspire one of them. Go and capture them. So these were the horns. The craftsmen were angels. Angels that dethroned these nations. Angels that overthrow these nations. May the Lord raise craftsmen against the systems that the enemy has established against your prophetic word. Any system that is standing, any structure, any institution, any establishment, any gate that the devil has raised against your prophetic word, may the Lord raise a craftsman. May the Lord raise carpenters. May the Lord raise carpenters to overthrow them, to cast them down in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. What is the purpose of these gates, systems, structures, and institutions? They are set up or raised or established or mounted against your prophetic word or your dream. To do one, to abort them. To abort them. To abort your dream. To abort your prophetic word. Two, to capture them. Three, to hijack them. Four, to intimidate you. Five, to wear you out. Yes, to wear you out. That is why they are established. So that you are trying. But you are forcing. Let me tell you, human nature, when they try about something for a long time, the tendency is what? Is to give up. I'm telling you, the tendency, that's all. The devil knows that you will give up. Look. The devil cannot stop what God has purposed for you because it is not coming from him. But the devil can delay it. The devil can delay it. He can wear you out. He can raise systems against your way. So to the point that, look, I remember many years ago when I was in my former church, she was one of the ladies who was praying for me. I picked four brethren, four gentlemen and two ladies to be praying for me, my own personal prayer warriors. In fact, two of the gentlemen are now pastors. They are pastors in Assemblies of God. They are reverend ministers now. And then one of the ladies is also a pastor's wife. But one also married differently. And then after, God bless them. This lady's name was all over the place. Mentioning her name. On radio, in TV, I used to see her talking about her product, her company, this and that. And then after some time, I didn't see her again. One of the days, I'd woke up and then prayed. I used to pray in front of my house, walking up and down. I came inside. After some few minutes, there was a knock on the gate. And then here was the lady who appeared. I look at her like this. If I had not known her, I wouldn't recognize her. I look at her face and I shouted, "Is that you? What has happened?" I look at the sandals she was wearing. I look at the way she dressed. I say, "Are you yourself?" She laughed. Say, "Pastor, yes, I am." I said, "What has happened?" We went and sat down. Immediately we sat down. The first thing she told me, say, "Pastor, I don't want a prophecy. Please, I am not here for a prophecy. Don't give me a prophetic word. I am saying this because of the wearing aspect. These gates and structures and systems, their purpose is to wear you out because you have tried and that thing is happening. So there is a tendency to give up on God and to give up on yourself." She sat there and said, "Pastor, I don't want prophecy. I have had too many prophecies. Any place I enter, they will point me. That lady, they can't. They will begin to, everything they are saying is true. I have had over 100. Any when I enter a church, me alone, they will point, that lady wearing that is in camp, I will go forward. Pastor, tell me something, but not prophecy. I am not here for prophecy because I am tired. Now I want fulfillment." If somebody has said this to you, what are you going to say? If the person said, "Give me a prophetic word," it's very easy. It's very easy. I can just, "Look, God will bless you. In 3 months' time, you're so and so. You're so and so." The person will shout, "Amen, amen, amen." And go. This one, I say, "I don't want prophecy." So the person has closed you. "I don't want prophecy. But tell me something." What are you going to tell the person? I started speaking in tongues. I realized that this lady has come to her end. And she told me the story. How she got there. only one mistake she made. One mistake, one agreement she didn't read well and signed, she lost everything. She lost everything. All that I said to her, I said, my sister, God hasn't finished with you. God hasn't finished with you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Hold on! Because my God is the God of many chances. Say, Pastor, thank you. I am encouraged. I think I want to go now. I walk with her to the gate. As we were standing there, she was looking for a taxi. This is a woman who was riding one of the first women who started riding, Rover. Rover. Land Rover. How do we call them? The big ones. Range Rover. She was riding Range Rover. Range Rover and Pajero. She will come and pick me. We'll go and pray in the forest. Pick me, pray. Now the woman had to come with taxi and go with taxi. Immediately we came from my gate. We're standing there. We're just standing. She was waiting for a taxi. A car just passed like this and then reversed. He said, you, and then mention her home name. My sister has been looking for you. My sister has been in town for 3 months now. She has been looking for you. Where have you been? Right now, today, my sister asked me of you again. She called me. Say, can I take you to sister? She got into the car. When they got there, the lady said, you know something? I want to change my business. But I don't want this business to close down. So I am giving it to you. Do it and pay me and take the company. Do it and pay me and take the company. The same day. That's how the devil works us out. He will establish things against your prophetic word. May the devil not wear you out. I say, may the devil not wear you out. There are two ways that the devil systems work. Two centers. One, the first center is localized. That is your mind, your imagination. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. That the warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of all strongholds, casting down all imaginations. They work in your brain, in your mind. Some of us, certain belief systems that we are carrying, certain philosophy that we are carrying, they are our gates. They are bringing us down. Certain belief systems, they are wrong. Let me tell you, as a child of God, you should always align your thoughts with what? The written word. What is written? That is your constitution now. Yes. That's why. Sometimes when I hear certain things that people say, I don't just joke with it at all. I don't just joke with them. I rebuke them. Because words. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. To 24. 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 24. And then 1 Samuel 17, 11. In fact, 1 Samuel 17, 11 says that when they heard Goliath, the Bible says that they were terrified. And when they saw him, they ran. They fled. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and what? Terrified. They were dismayed when they heard. And then when they saw him, 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 10, on seeing him. So what we see and we hear, this is how these gates work. This is how these gates, sometimes the devil will just be giving you negative dreams. Negative dreams. The more you are praying, the more you are having negative dreams. So that that imagination will remain in your head. And then you are defeated forever. May you be delivered from every imagination. May every imagination be cast down in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the extended form is through what? Cultures, traditions, and people's comments. Cultures, traditions, and people. What people say. Not all traditions and cultures are bad. But as a child of God, every culture and tradition that you hold on to should align with the Bible culture, with the word of God. Because you are now aligning your life with what? With the word of God. God has given us a word that we should stand on, not culture and tradition. And also people. The devil uses people. He uses people. I tell you, the devil, he uses people to speak, to make comment, to make discouraging statement. Yesterday at the wedding, I told Auntie Benedicta, as I used to call her, I said, I'm going to preach you. For some time now, I'm going to preach you in this church. Listen to me, church. Try to know God for yourself. Try to have a personal encounter. Otherwise, if you don't have a personal encounter with God, people will confuse you and distract you. People in the church will confuse you and distract you. People are telling her, oh, maybe your luck is not in this church. If I were you, maybe you should have relocated to another church. People in the church. One of the days after church, a lady came to me, say, Pastor, my spirit is down. I look at her. The spirit was down. I said, what has happened? She said, look, there was a word and I came to connect to the altar. When I was going, somebody just tapped me and said, so you too, you want that thing to happen to you? I said, what did you say to her? She said, I just passed. I said, you should have told her that you are a devil. You are one of the people Pastor is talking about. Sometimes when I stand here and I am talking hard, it is not always I've taken Lipton, no. It's not always. Sometimes it is Lipton. When I take Lipton, I can misbehave. When I take Lipton 3 times in a week, don't mess up with me at all. Because my distance is very high at that time. But it is not always it is Lipton. Sometimes I am addressing some serious demonic issues. People talk my heart in the church. We allow the devil to use us. That is why you must have an encounter. Look, if you know where she lives, Atadeka, Zenue, Atadeka, it's far. I went to dedicate a house. Ashiama is inside, Papa. From Ashiama to Atadeka is about 30 minutes drive. Ashiama is about 30 minutes drive. That's where she come from, to church here, big farm. Every Sunday, if you are a naturalist, you look around and say, but this woman, what is there that you are going there? There are hundreds of churches around you. You live there and come. Let me tell you, if you are a naturalist and you think the world is just what you see with your eyes, you think every church is a church. Where they are clapping, they are mentioning Jesus is a church. But let me tell you, not every church holds your destiny. Your destiny is at a particular place. A particular place has been marked for you. Even if that place is at Takoradi, you must sacrifice and go to Takoradi. Hallelujah. And God will reward your sacrifice. Hallelujah. And God has rewarded her. Finally, say finally. How do we overcome all this? How do we overcome the attacks? How do we overcome the structures and the systems? 3 things I will mention. For 2 of them, the devil has them, but we don't have them. I have had an encounter with 3 Satanists, Satan worshippers. One of them, I had an encounter with him in Ethiopia in 2008, when I was traveling to Israel, and we made 1 day stay in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Hotel Wangara. And when I was talking with this man, I was shaking that the devil's child is standing before me. He said one thing that shocked me. He said, as for us Satanists, we have two keys. That's why we win. In fact, that is what makes the devil appear so powerful. Number one, we are very patient. Number two, we persevere. The second time I met a Satanist, also at a gathering somewhere, this Satanist said the same thing to me. He said, we are very patient and we persevere. Then I went and bought one book, The Secret to the Occult or something. And I read. I found it very, it was there just to know what these people believe. Say, we are very patient. We persevere. We never lose. I said, wow. The third Satanist was in this church. That time we were at the car park in the wooden structure. During a deliverance service. Wednesday evening service or Friday prayer meeting. They waited until I was worn out. And I saw two gentlemen seated there. They were French guys. Yes. I will not mention where they were coming from. During the first service I mentioned, but this one is online. And then somebody knew one of them. Say, well, Pastor, these friends want to see you and talk to you. I said, okay. So the first one came. Not knowing they were Satanists. They have heard my name. And they have decided to come and try me and attack me. They have been assigned from their coven to me. And that day was the day that they set for me. And that particular time, they set for me. Because they knew that I had led prayer, I had done everything, and I was tired. They came and said, oh, I've been having some dreams. And then when I sleep, this and this and that, and I feel that sometimes some spirit enter my room. I don't know. So, so and so. Then I said, let's pray. Immediately, I started speaking in tongues. Come and see manifestation. That was the most violent deliverance I've ever encountered in my life. I'm a deliverance minister. I've encountered several. But that one, it was very frightening. I have Mr. Taylor there. Yes, it is about 20 years ago. Mr. Taylor was there. Yes. They have gone to many churches and there was... They said they have gone to many churches and there is no power. But when they entered our church, immediately they entered, he was coming with 96 demons. And he told me, Pastor, 20 demons can live in this finger. 20 demons, they can stay in one finger like this. 20 demons, they can live in one finger. And he said to me, we were 96. I came with 96 demons. Immediately we entered, I saw the demons. I heard the demons telling me, be careful. Be careful, because this man is serious. Be careful here. Be careful. This man is serious. Be careful. Be careful. And so when we started, 3 hours deliverance, Papa Taylor was there. Emmanuel Dro, the brother, is a strong brother. Eh? He came and held him because he wanted to bite me. And he told me that if he has beaten me, he would have transferred the demons into me. So he was start looking for a place to bite. And I wasn't giving him away. Then Mandodro came and held him down and pinned him to the ground. After his deliverance, he said to me, Pastor, do you know what happened? Pastor, you are a man of God. He started saying some things I don't want to say. But the first thing he said, immediately you commanded in the name of Jesus, the first prayer, 30 of the demons disappeared. 30 demons left me. 30. 30 left me. And then the rest, they said they will not go. And I heard them saying to each other, let's manifest and go. Let's manifest and go, otherwise we shall be in trouble. After everything, when he was delivered, now when his deliverance was going on, before we realized, the other one ran away. The other one disappeared. Because he saw that what has happened. So he left. After the deliverance, he said, Pastor, please, I want to talk to you. Then he gave me the secret. And one of the things he told me, he said, Pastor, we Satanists, we have two keys. we are very patient. We persevere. We are patient. We persevere. How do we overcome? Church, this is the last point. How do you overcome the attack on your prophetic word? How do you overcome the gates, the structures, and the systems set against your prophetic word? One, patience. Say patience. Say patience. Go and study the biblical meaning of patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, 12. What does it say about patience? We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what God has promised. Ah! Faith and patience. Microwave Christians today. Microwave! Microwave Christians. We want everything to happen right now. Yes. The person is holding on. Oh, I am tired. Singing in the choir, you will see him again. Ushering, you will see her again. The thing she has been doing, she has given up because God is not answering. Patience. Patience. Auntie Benedita has waited patiently for how many years? Many years. Many years. Patience. Patience. She focused on this day. Patience. God rewards. It takes patience to inherit the promise. I'm telling you. It takes patience. And whilst you are patient, what are you doing? You are being faithful to God. You are pleasing. Not that you are living anyhow. You are doing all you can. You are persevering. Then number two. Perseverance. Perseverance. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Patience and perseverance. Then the third one. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You need to persevere. Persevere is pressing on. Pressing on. Being consistent and persistent on the word of God. God rewards perseverance. May you persevere. I say, may you persevere with the word. May you persevere with the word of God. And the last one, this one, the Satanist didn't tell me, but this is what we need. Pray the prophetic word. Prayer. 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 Keep praying the prophetic word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18. Timothy, my son. Timothy. Paul called Timothy my son. This is where spiritual fatherhood comes in. Many people who are stubborn and disobedient and rebellious, they don't want to hear the term spiritual fatherhood. They think when they mention spiritual fatherhood, it means bondage. Never. It doesn't mean bondage. Let me show me somebody who is progressing in life, and I will show you somebody who is under spiritual authority. I'm telling you, people will not tell you their secret, but people are under spiritual authority. Everybody is under a covering. Everybody's people are progressing and breaking through. They have either demonic covering or divine covering. But divine covering is the best. Yes. Your spiritual authority, your spiritual father, do you know the role he plays? He serves as a break in your life. He will tell you, this one we don't do. This one do it like this. I've never been to Amejope before, but I've been to the town. The town under Amejope, the, how do we call it? From there, you are going to Amejope. That's where I've never climbed the mountain. Eh? Vane. I've been to Vane before. Thank you, Vane. I've been to Vane several times. But Amejope, I've not. It's a mountainous place. I've been to Eburi. I've been to Late. Tell me, sitting down here watching me, that you are in the car. Coming to climb to Late. And then the driver said, please, I have an announcement to make. This car hasn't got brakes. Kwame, will you sit in that car? I want to announce to you passengers that, unfortunately, this car that is coming to climb this mountain hasn't got brakes. Let's see who will still sit in that car. Because when it is coming back, it is going. Nothing can stop. That is the need. That's what spiritual fathers, your covering represent. They tell you, say, hey, this one, don't do it. This one, stop it. This one will not help you. So if you see somebody who is not under spiritual authority, it's a matter of time. The person will pass away like a fly. But spiritual authority will cover you. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command. Your spiritual authority will command you in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well.
Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ.